literally create whatever it is that they want to create. Please take initiative. Please show me what this could be. Yeah. This could literally be whatever you want it to be. I want you to think outside of the box. Mm. I want you to do things differently. I want you to make it your own. And what happens is no one moves. And they look to the right. They look to the left. They look back at me. And then they get mad at me or whatever because I didn't give them enough rules. Because right. I didn't give them enough guidelines in how to do it right. And it's like, you want freedom, but you want rules.
And this is why. Because we are conditioned to move only according to outside criteria. We are conditioned to only be able to understand that our value of going from this level to that level is dictated by the outside criteria given to us by somebody else. Mm-hmm. We don't check in. We don't choose. And even when someone gives you the opportunity and says, you get to create, you get to create. That means you can do anything you want with this. Mm-hmm. You can make it your own. You can do whatever. We don't see that as freedom. Oh, I get to choose. We don't see it as freedom because freedom has not been sold to us in those terms. Mm-hmm. Freedom has been sold to us as a cage with Netflix and snacks and couches.
So welcome to the Beth Stanfield Free Podcast, aka BS Free. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Beth Stanfield Free Podcast. I've got a special episode for you. Okay, so this is an episode that you may have heard already on the Tansy and Chandler podcast. This was an episode we recorded a couple weeks ago and that was published already on that particular podcast, but I wanted to publish it here as well so that you can have an opportunity, A, to listen to it again, had you not done so the first time. And if this is your first time, then wonderful, because it is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, freedom, and also just a wonderful conversation with Tansy. So she and I recorded this somewhat impromptu after we watched or participated in rather a class from Poems in Power. If you have not heard about Poems in Power yet, then I'm so excited to tell you right now. This is Chelsea Diane's class. And if you Google Poems in Power, you will find her. It's not just about poems and it's not just about power. It's about everything beautiful, courageous, breathtaking, luminous, just every good thing about being a woman. She teaches about women in history, women that are both alive, women that have not been with us for hundreds of years, and she brings a life to it, an edge to it. She brings a spirit to it. She brings a lightness and a depth to it that is just truly stunning. So Tansy and I were both listening to that and then just reflecting on it afterwards. And so just bringing you into this afternoon couch conversation about freedom, about the things that hold us back. Honestly, us verbally trying to get our arms around this concept that is elusive and hard to take as our own. As you know, it's a constant theme of my own and also a theme of my book that's coming up. And I'll talk more about that on the next podcast because I just finally turned it into my publishers. It's in the hands of the editors now. They've got their red pens out and they're probably marking it way up. So this is kind of a continuation of some themes and some topics that I've been ruminating on through the book writing process. And we will just continue to carry this conversation forward in all of the podcasts coming for you in the very near future. Enjoy listening to this one, and I can't wait to tell you more about the details of the book coming up in the very next podcast.
Hello, everybody. I am Tansy, and Beth is here with me, who is a really good friend of mine, who inspires me so much, an incredible speaker, an incredible writer, in the process of finishing her first book.
Yep.
She is a leader in Turn Up, and so many other ways. She's a mom. She is in Wilmington, North Carolina, and she lights me up and is someone who philosophizes
you
life.
You made that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinks deeply about things, and I appreciate that. So We just listened to Chelsea Diane talk about Britney Spears and her story, and the theme across the board was women being caged up versus freedom, what that feels like, what that looks like, what fighting for that is, what just everything. I just feel like that was the theme across the board, which is so interesting because I know that your book is about freedom. Your message is all about freedom.
Yes.
Your podcast is about freedom. And I think without even realizing it, a lot of my message is about freedom too. So I was like, let's just push play on this podcast and just talk deeply like we normally would about kind of everything that we just heard, everything that you're working on, realizations, the power of being a woman, the power of women being around women, and just going with it from there. Do you want to start? Do you have anything that's like right off the top of your head?
I feel like I should take you to get your nails done.
Oh my gosh. I'm going as soon as, listen, first of all, this is a podcast.
All right. Sorry.
No, I am going, I'm going to go tomorrow when you take Fancy. She's going to take Fancy. Okay. I'm going to go get my nails done before I go to Arizona, but I've literally, these have lasted almost an entire month.
Okay, so that's
good. They're doing all right.
All right. Yes.
Anyways, don't look at my nails and talk to me about freedom.
Okay. All right. Oh my gosh. I'll tell you what. So freedom is the most breathtakingly extraordinary feeling in the world. It is, and it's one of the things that you can't, when you start to step in true freedom, when you start to really feel and taste real freedom, it is, you can't get enough of it. You cannot get enough of it. And you will know, you start to notice these areas. If you are stepping and walking forward in making those small steps toward a place of freedom, even if you don't know what it looks like, you don't exactly know where it's taking you, you don't even know what it feels like, but you know that you're just, you have a sense that there's this direction that is more free than where you are. And if you're walking forward in that, all of a sudden you will realize, you'll look to the side and you'll look to the left and the right and behind, and you'll be like, oh, these are the areas where I'm not yet free. You know, these are the areas. So it's like the more you move forward in freedom, the more you find out, the more it becomes illuminated for you, those areas where you're not yet free.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers, because when you're still, like, for example, when I left the corporate world, I thought that was the big yahoo, you know, like the big jump. Right.
And you're saying it wasn't? And
it was not.
What do you mean?
Because basically when I left that environment and went into my thought process, do you remember this from conference last year? I vocalized for the first time what to me felt like the most freeing thing I could, which was that I'm going to leave this place I've been for 18 years, the security of a corporate job, the security of the salary and all of that, and do something just really wild and crazy called start a law firm. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not very, that was basically like saying, I'm going to go from this one cage with benefits to another cage with maybe a few less benefits and, you know, try to figure it out. And within about a couple months, I experienced the freedom of jumping out of that cage, looked around and realized, I'm not going in back in another cage. I'm not going to do that. And as a result of that, I just started shedding and shedding and shedding, and it's not done. It's still in the middle of that.
So when you realized that you were jumping into another cage and still not free, what was the process of reaching a point where you were like, this is where I really want to go, and this is what real freedom feels like to me versus where I'm at?
Yeah.
How'd you get there?
Well, I mean, it was kind of painful because you jump out and you start sort of talking out loud those things, which are important to do. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important, even if the things that come out of your mouth are not the thing, it's important for you to still vocalize in the moment what feels like freedom to you, or what feels like a step forward in freedom. Mm-hmm. And then be able, once you get there, to hold it lightly in your hand. Because what happens, I think, at least for me, is like you say this thing out loud, you step in it, and then you hold on to it. Mm-hmm. You feel like you are now beholden to that thing that you said last week you were going to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's not freedom. Hmm. You jumped into a cage of your own creation, you know? Mm-hmm. You articulated this thing, and that's important. Mm-hmm. It's important for you to get the words out. Otherwise, they just stay in here and you don't move. So you articulated this thing the best that you could mm-hmm. in the moment, but then you got there, and then all of a sudden your intuition and mm-hmm. and your body is telling you, and you're getting these weird feelings, and it just, you're having a hard time moving in it, but then you feel like you have to because you said the words, or you made some, you said yes to something you shouldn't have said yes to, or something like that. So that happened, and I had to just say no. It took me about a month and a half to realize it was a no.
Just had to let yourself change your mind.
Absolutely.
And it's also what I think hearing that is, you had to go that direction in order to then move into what you actually wanted. And it's like, so often we stop ourselves from that first thing of freedom because we're worried about this, and this, and the fact that it might not be freedom, and it might be this, and it's all these things. And it's like, you have to take that first leap, be wrong about it, or fall on your face in order to open the door to the next thing of where you're at now. And we stop ourselves sometimes, but
absolutely. And if I hadn't taken that first step, even though it wasn't the thing, if I hadn't done that, I would be miserable. Mm. I would be so miserable. Like there's this quote from Maya Angelou, and she says, like, the misery of an untold story inside of you. There is an untold story inside of me that I have been carrying for years, mm-hmm. and it's miserable. And I could not carry it. I could not speak it. I couldn't say it. I couldn't write it. I couldn't speak it because I was still in that job. And I would not have been able to. The human that was in that space would never have created what I've created in that time. Never created it.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know I was going to write a book. I didn't even know I was going to do this thing. I didn't even know I was going to say the words. I didn't even know I was going to tell the truth. I didn't even know I was going to do all of that. I didn't even know what freedom actually looked like. I just knew there was something out there that I needed to be. There was something there that I couldn't do where I was.
I love that. I want to say something to that.
Okay.
Because I think everyone needs to like listen up to this, because we all want freedom. At the end of the day, like everything that you desire, if it's like fill in the blank, whatever it is that you dream about, there's a freedom attached to it of you being closer to yourself, more yourself, freedom to not have to worry about certain things, freedom to do what you want to do. And so often we want freedom, but we're not willing to accept the responsibility that comes with freedom of being okay with the unknown.
Yeah.
Being okay with mm-hmm. not knowing what's next. Because when you know what's next, there's no freedom in that.
That's right.
When you know what's coming, there's nothing, there's no opportunity for improv. There's no opportunity for you to redefine or recreate. And so it's like, you keep, I'm saying this to you and I'm saying this to me, you keep saying you want freedom, yet you are jumping from one cage to the next.
You are.
In order to avoid the fear of not knowing. And you can't avoid the fear of not knowing without avoiding freedom.
That is so right. This is the thing. You think freedom looks like another cage with snacks and couches? Mm-hmm. Okay, no. That's not freedom.
What's so crazy is like recognizing, and when you see that in yourself, like the way that you actually put yourself in a cage, like no one else is putting you in a cage. Mm-mm. I mean, Britney Spears, we just learned about Britney Spears. Yeah. Someone else was putting her in a cage. But a lot of times we're putting ourselves in our own freaking cages and wondering why we're so sad and stuck.
Yeah.
Another thing that comes to my mind is Chelsea Diane said, I get asked all the time, like, where's your oomph come from? Where does your spark come from? Where's your confidence come from? And I feel like I get asked the question of, like, how are you so confident? Or where did you, how did you get to where, like, that vibe, that energy of, like, owning who you are and not giving an F, which is not true. Like, I give a lot of Fs, way too many. Still working on that.
It's just about the right Fs. We're just figuring out which are the right Fs to give.
Yeah. Also, I say fucks, so I don't know why I said Fs, but I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I'm just, anyways, my point was, so I get asked that question, and I also feel like you are at a point where I'm watching you step into your own, and I'm honestly, like, so proud of you for all the things you're doing. And also, like, jealous. I think there's a part of me that's, like, not jealous. That's not the right word. Because
There's something.
Well, there's no part of, like, not fairness. Yeah. Or, like, no. Jealousy. It's, like, you're writing a book, and I want to do that. And so I think a lot of times when what we see in other women and what we see them doing that we're, like, oh, not fair, I want to do that. That's like, that's a sign that you need to move towards that. But my point from the beginning of what I was trying to say is any woman that you see in her freedom, doing what she wants to do, being unapologetic about it, feeling confident, knows a cage like the back of her hand, can tell you the inside of it, the up, down, everything, like has caged herself in or been caged by fill in the blank, and has had to learn how to break free of that and is now sharing that piece of her. And so anybody that you see that is killing the game in regards to confidence and like stepping into their own and leading, like, they, I promise you, are facing and fighting the cage all the time.
You and then, of course, I have to say, there's a part in the book that you're in, and I'm excited.
No way!
Yes, because this is
that's so cool.
This is the chemistry that that blows my mind. This is the chemistry that absolutely, the alchemy that absolutely blows my mind. Because true freedom, multiplies. It gives. It raises. Because it's not just freedom. It's freedom and magic at the same time. True freedom is magic. And when you start to step into that place where you no longer see the world as anything with walls. Walls don't exist. Cages no longer exist. Scarcity no longer exists. The only thing that exists is magic and more of it. And more of it. So when I go to a place, any place, anywhere that I am, you are 100% right. If I feel the tension of some type of a cage, an expectation, something that's feeling a little bit off about a requirement, an expectation, or some kind of belief system, or anything. I just, like I do when I got out of the first cage and had that first opportunity to go right into a second one, I didn't. I just said, no. I'm going to, everything I walk into, I carry lightly. Everything I carry lightly. I carry relationships lightly, but I carry them deeply. Deeply and lightly. And it's a weird paradox, but at the same time, the lightly part of it gives you the opportunity to be completely free. Completely free. And it's so contagious. It's so contagious.
I feel like that's a question that Chelsea Diane asked, was like, to feel total freedom. And I'm going to ask you, listening, as I'm asking myself, like, what would that feel like to you to feel total freedom? And where are you not free? Like, where do you still feel not free? And, like, being able to face that is freedom itself. Mm. Being able to not face where you're not free and avoiding it is putting yourself in a cage. And I think a lot of times we cage ourselves from not being able to face ourselves. Mm. But I also think, like, I'm so inspired by just listening to that whole thing on Britney Spears and just listening to Chelsea Diane talk. She just said, like, you do know that you're allowed to, like, say and want whatever you want when you want it and then change your mind. And at any point, you are in control. And the way that you figure out what you want is to listen to your body. And I thought that was so powerful, which is, like, a message all the time that I think the world is starting to catch on to, is, like, your body knows. Like, you're, like, listen to your body. And she was referring to it in regards to being turned on and, like, sex. Yeah. And giving yourself permission to, like, be sexual, which is a whole other thing. Because she was saying, like, when Britney Spears became a problem, when Britney Spears became dangerous, what was that? Like, where was that? And it was when she became sexy, and she made this whole freaking thing, this whole point, which I was, like, mind blown. I was like, damn, that's so real.
So true.
Of, like, when she became sexy, she became a problem. And what's interesting is I was obsessed with Britney Spears. I'm sure, like, if you,
yep.
I mean, like, my idol, like, love her. But she made the point of, like, as kids, we weren't thinking she was sexy. We didn't look at her as sexy. We didn't look up to her because she was sexy. And I look back now and I'm like, yeah, I didn't even associate her bare stomach with sexiness. Like, I was like, she is cool. Like,
yeah,
I want to be like her because she's cool and she's living and she's performing and yeah. And, like, owning her power, which was sexy. And the sexiness title and label came from media, men, people who weren't able to see the power in her simply owning her sexuality. And that was an interesting take too. So, like, then Chelsea goes to ask, like, why do you wear what you wear? Why do you cover up what you cover up? Why do you feel the need to water yourself down in this, this, and this, in this area? And it's like, that's a great question to ask too. Like, why are you doing it? If it's, you know, for you or whatever, like, that's beautiful. But, like, pay attention to that. What else?
Well, like, the other big message we get it as women, not just from the standpoint of, like, moderating what we wear and how we present ourselves, is to be small. Is to be small, and not just to psychologically, not to have a sense of constraint in terms of the way that you live and the way that you carry your body. Like, we talk about this a lot, like, take up more space, you know? I don't want to just take up more space. I want to be, like, everywhere. Everywhere. That's what I want. But that's because I've lived and behaved for more than, like, 30 years. I kept every single one of the rules. I kept every single one of the rules. And the only thing that you get when you keep every single one of the rules is brokenness. That's all you get. That's what you get at the end of the day. If you keep the rules, you do. That's what you get. That's it. And if you break all the rules, what you get is you get brokenness. So it doesn't matter which side you're on. If you break all the rules, you're broken. If you keep all the rules, you get brokenness. Freedom is the only thing. The only thing. The idea that you can actually be anything you want to be. Do anything you want to do. Ask for anything you want to ask for. And not be apologetic about it. Is mind-blowing. And it really, we're conditioned to believe that that is a problem. That we should check ourselves. Who asks for what they actually want, you know?
Yeah.
But the other part of it too, that Chelsea was talking about, and I definitely resonate with this, is just the message for us to constantly be small, even to the point of thinking of how so much of my mind, my thoughts over the last, like, 20, 30 years have been about not being big, not getting big, not eating food, not becoming bigger in my body.
Like physically.
Like literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how important that, how consuming that is. And thinking now that freedom, what freedom to me means, what a effing waste of time. What a fucking waste of time.
Yeah.
For all of that time that I was so consumed about being small, you know?
Yeah.
And all the thoughts, and now I have, I'm not going to tell you that I have zero thoughts about being small, because that's some deep, deep conditioning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, when I dance and I'm in class and I'm leading, not one time am I thinking about being small. Mm-mm. I'm only thinking about being big.
Yeah.
When I'm in class, I'm thinking about being big.
Hmm. So when you say you want to be everywhere, what is that going to require? And what does that mean?
Okay, so we hear a lot, and I don't have a problem with this terminology at all, because I think it has a place and it resonates with some, you know, people. But, you know, in the personal development world, in the fitness world, in the corporate world, there's jargon that we use, and then sometimes it loses meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the original meaning is no yep. longer the meaning. But right now, there's a lot of talk and a lot of terminology around becoming the next version of yourself.
Yeah.
Betterment.
Yeah.
I want to become a better version of myself. I want to level up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to level up. And because, and partially because I lived a life in extreme dedication to being at the top. Mm-hmm. Always.
Mm-hmm.
I was always leveling up. I was always above and beyond. I was always A plus. I always hit it out of the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
I have always overachieved. And when you get to a point where you are leveling up, 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 and the criteria for elevating is given to you by an outside source. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not your own criteria. It's not a criteria that comes from the inside out.
Yeah.
It's a criteria, a job description, a recipe that is coming from an outside source telling you this is what the requirement is to level up.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it is to succeed in this environment. This is the standard that's been set that we want you to hit. And then you do that. What happens is you level up, next version, next version, next version. You get to the top.
Empty.
And you will look around, right? You finally are the one who gets to set the criteria and you get to choose. So like all those times you've been leveling up, people are like, you did good. You get to be elevated. You did good. Mm-hmm. You get to be elevated. Great job. A plus. Next level.
Yeah.
You get to the point. So you've been chosen because you proved yourself. You get to the top. Your head's up in the clouds. You get there and you look around and you say, there's literally nothing here that I want to choose.
Wow.
Nothing. Nothing. What, I don't want to be on another ladder. I don't want to level up. I don't want to be evaluated on any plane, any vertical plane, any horizontal plane, anybody looking at anything I do as bad or good or up or down. I want to go, I am me, and every particle of my body, every particle of my being, every molecule of my body is everywhere because mm-hmm. I am everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Wow.
That's what I mean.
I have tears because if that's not relatable to every single one of us, geez, that's, I also think too, that's again, an example of what you have to be willing to let go of in order to chase freedom. And so often I literally watch it. We just talked about this on the squad call. I will create purposely opportunities for women in the turn up to literally create whatever it is that they want to create. Please take initiative. Please show me what this could be. Yeah. This could literally be whatever you want it to be. I want you to think outside of the box. Mm. I want you to do things differently. I want you to make it your own. And what happens is no one moves. And they look to the right. They look to the left. They look back at me. And then they get mad at me or whatever because I didn't give them enough rules. Because right. I didn't give them enough guidelines in how to do it right. And it's like, you want freedom, but you want rules.
And this is why. Because we are conditioned to move only according to outside criteria. We are conditioned to only be able to understand that our value of going from this level to that level is dictated by the outside criteria given to us by somebody else. Mm-hmm. We don't check in. We don't choose. And even when someone gives you the opportunity and says, you get to create, you get to create. That means you can do anything you want with this. Mm-hmm. You can make it your own. You can do whatever. We don't see that as freedom because we don't see that, I get to choose. We don't see it as freedom because freedom has not been sold to us in those terms. Mm-hmm. Freedom has been sold to us as a cage with Netflix and snacks and couches.
Well, I think that you also said it earlier of how painful it is to go, like I asked you how you got to the actual place where you feel like you're heading in the right direction, closer to yourself and closer to the things you want to do, and how painful it was. And I think that's exactly what it is too. It's sitting in the unknown. It's not having answers and being willing to sit in that pain in order to create your own shit. And people will say they want fill in the blank and yet not be willing to sit in that pain of not having exactly what they need to know in order to move forward, and then therefore never take action towards what it could look like for them. Like, I just think that we do that. I do that still, even knowing I'm aware of that. Like the patterns that we keep repeating are so crazy. Like how we just repeat them in so many different areas, and they just keep coming back until you learn the lesson and set yourself free from it.
It's funny too, like, think long and hard about freedom, because that word is tossed around quite a bit. And what I think that a lot of us actually, we live in a way where we know that maybe we have the power of choice and women can vote
that's
now.
That's what I was going to say too.
Really?
Yes. Well, I was going to say the responsibility of having choices is hard.
Yes.
Like not even outside of like you want rules, you want to be told what to do. Like an example is, I could live wherever I want. I could literally go. Mm-hmm. I don't have kids. I don't have a husband. I have a dog and it's me, and I could go anywhere. And I mind fuck the shit out of it. And I'm like, what's the right answer? Where should I be? Give me signs. Like, because the ability to have options is almost like you have to do the work to trust yourself. You have to do the work to answer it yourself. Mm-hmm. No one, you don't get to blame anybody but you. Like, you are the one. It's on you to make the decision. And like, as much as we want that, as much as I love that and I'm freaking so thankful and I never ever want to go back to anything else, but like, it's like some shit that you didn't even realize is not what you're used to. And like you said, not conditioned, but sorry to interrupt. Keep going. Like the choice. You were talking about choice.
Yes. So, well, what I was going to say was essentially exactly what you said, which is that we take for granted, I take for granted, and I have always taken for granted that I have the power of choice. Mm-hmm. And
man,
honestly, I mean, truly, we behave as if there's a lock on the cage. Mm-hmm. We behave as if, we make decisions as if, we talk about freedom, we say the words freedom, but all our behavior, all our language, all our relationships, all our patterns suggest that we think it's hypothetical, that it's rhetorical only.
Why is that? what the hell is that?
What the hell is that?
Like, why? I do that to myself so much. Like, I literally have created my own job. I pay myself. I've literally built a life of my dreams, yet I still find ways to be like, no, I can't do that.
Right.
No, that has to stay over here. I'm going to disappoint this person. Like, that's probably, I mean, if I think about the reasons why I put myself in a cage in the way that you just said, like, it's because I'm afraid to disappoint people.
That's a big one.
And not be loved.
Yep.
I think.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah.
Whew.
It will, that's the thing. And when you're walking in it, and when you're walking forward, and this is kind of how I perceive freedom at this current stage of life, which is that every step I make toward freedom illuminates, like I said at the beginning, illuminates those areas very clearly where you're not yet free. It will take you to the end of yourself. It will take you to your edges.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to the margin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when you get to that edge, it's like imagine you're in a complex and there's wide open space out there. Wide open space for you to just go out and like run free. But you're used to this complex. You're used to this, you know, yard that you go to, and like a dog with a shock collar, you get up to the edge where a little electric thing is, and it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're conditioned to let it hurts, and then you go back in. Hurts, and you go back in. That's how I think about those things,
yeah.
Like people pleasing. When I get to the hurt part, I'm trained as a dog to go back in. Okay, but what if it hurt the exact same way, and I went out? Because that's all it is. It will hurt the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
But one takes you out, the other one takes you in.
Well, when I hear you say that, the thing that I think of is, so is it the actual pain that keeps you in, or is it the fear of the pain that keeps you in?
Right.
And so it's like, are you even letting yourself get to the point of pain, or are you getting close to the edge, getting scared?
Yep.
And resorting back. And that is where
how shock collars work, you know?
Yeah.
It's the fear of the pain. It's not the pain, because it only takes one shock for dogs.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's like where you are living in fear is going to reveal to you where you are not free. And man, oh man.
Man, oh man.
What's crazy is like I think about my life and like the things that I used to feel free in. I mean, it's crazy because you think you've beat it. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm free. I'm doing it. And then all of a sudden I'm in the literal same pattern that I was in because I'm afraid of certain things, afraid of letting people down, afraid of not being liked, afraid of making people feel uncomfortable, afraid of losing what I've created. Mm-hmm. And that fear, if I'm operating from that, I am not free.
Yeah.
And it's a war internally. And so it's like fear is always going to be present if you're doing big things, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not fearless. Mm. I think it's always going to be a thing, but it's like if you're operating from that, you're controlled by it. If you're operating from that and you're controlled by it, you're not free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big realization.
Yeah. I think there are some fears that are spiral. Like you round and then you go down another level or up another level and you hit it again. At every level, you hit that same thing every again. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of mine is like, one of my deepest fears is I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt people.
Right.
I mean, it's weird because I'm not necessarily known as being a real soft person. and some of that is because in the world, growing up in this environment, and, you know, I remember specifically being in the era, growing up in the era of Britney Spears, and she was the example of what not to be. Don't be girly. Don't be sexy. Don't be feminine. Don't be any of these things.
That's so interesting.
And so And I watched how the world treated people like Brittany. Mm. And I was like, I don't want that to happen to me. I will make myself male. And that's what I did. So I am not used to, my reputation, even though I don't think that I don't have a reputation for being an asshole, but I do have a reputation for being, for not being soft, right? But the weird thing is that most of my hang-ups are in the area of not wanting, actually being highly empathetic and not wanting to see other people in pain, like everywhere. And so one of my fears is that I'll do something, or I'm not, actually, it's not that I will do something, it's that they're going to be in pain and I could do something about it to make it better. It's not just, I don't want them to be in pain, but I feel responsible to alleviate pain. If I see the pain, it's my responsibility to alleviate the pain.
I think, I don't really know this to be true, but I feel like, I mean, that's relatable, but, and I think it's like codependency or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah. a thing. I know. I mean,
I think I have that too. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, and I think this is good to like identify why you fear what you fear. But I think Chelsea talked about being a role model and like how they used to shame Brittany because she was supposed to be a role model. Not that she signed up for that, but they were saying she was a bad role model. She was a bad mom. She was all these things. They were creating these narratives, creating these stories. We don't know. We don't really don't know what happened behind the scenes. But the thing is like I put so much pressure on myself to make other people proud and be a role model. And I don't know if the word is like stipend myself from being an artist sometimes. Yeah. And I was so empowered. I hope that you're listening to this empowered to like just let release yourself from having to be a role model. Like who said that that's the best way to live? Who said that that's actually the way to impact? I want to be an artist. I want to be fucking weird. I want to trial and error what's on my heart until I have to change directions and go the other way.
Yeah.
And then I don't want anyone, she said this perfectly too, like, don't be like me. Like, chase your most authentic self, your best life, the way that I hopefully light a fire inside of you to do the same. And it's like, if I'm trying to be a role model, I'm not impacting in the way that I want to. Like, I'm teaching you, once you get to this point, you have to be professional. You have to speak a certain way.
That's right.
You have to treat people a certain way and be this thing of a role model.
That's right.
Of what I thought it was supposed to be. And it's like, no, I actually think that the best way for me to be a role model is to not be that.
That's right.
And I think that's so real.
That is right. The only actual value of any type of role model is just you being you.
Yeah.
And just doing your thing and following your heart and pouring out your soul and doing your art.
Yeah.
And that is what you do. You are doing that. You are doing that.
Thank you.
Like, you guys don't know this, but it's been almost exactly 2 years since I've been in the turn up world,
which you started with conference, right?
Like, no, that was like it was right before that.
That was one of the first things you did.
That was definitely the first thing.
Yeah.
It was definitely the first
thing.
What
a way to kick it off.
But I was doing the YouTubes. I was just looking for some inspiration for choreo because I was bored to hell with, you know, the stuff that I was getting with the old format. And I just saw this magical woman. I just saw this magical woman. And I was like, there was something there that, I mean, to me, it's just pure magic. It's just pure magic. And it jumped everywhere. When I talk about atomization of you, that was you.
Wow.
It jumped. It like went everywhere in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel your joy.
I think that's what it is. It's like, when I think about that, I'm like, yeah, how can I remain true to that? Because I That's like the best compliment you could ever give. And I want to be magic. Like, don't we all want to be magic for somebody? And it's like, what makes your heart do flips that like you've like sacrificed, or that you have stopped letting be a part of your truth in what makes you you? And you know, they always say the question of like, what did you like to do as a kid? But it's like, what did you even like to watch? Who is your favorite character? I mean, Britney Spears, what did you, if she was one of them, like, what did you love about her? What feared you about her? Mm-hmm. Going back to everything that you are is a process, but like, man, I don't know. I just felt so, I feel so empowered, and I also feel called out because even though I think that's the thing too, is like, you can be multifaceted. You can be free and magic in one way and know on the other side that you're still playing small. You're still caging yourself up in other ways.
Yep.
And eventually it's going to fucking catch up to you. And it's going to piss you off, and you're going to hit a crossroads of like, you're going to keep learning this lesson until you realize like you can't be free here and not here. And
that's right.
It'll eat you alive.
Yep. You can't unsee it. You can avoid it, but it'll make you miserable.
Jeez. So let's wrap this up with you saying what's like, I want to hear about your book. What's like, So Beth has been writing a book, and she's like one of the best writers I've ever met, truly, and speakers. And just the way you express things, I'm like, damn, you just put that together in such of a flow of a sentence. Like, how would you do that?
Did you go to school?
Right off the top of your head.
Wow.
But like, I also, at the same time, you are one of the like most you're so hard on yourself. You are a perfectionist. Yeah. You are like, it's not good enough. I'm not where I want to be. Yeah. And I see you be so hard on yourself. And when you came in here today and you were like, I'm basically done with my book, I have a few more days, and you looked at me and you smiled, and you were like, your face was free, and you're like, it's really good. And I was like, that's saying something.
Yeah.
And that is,
yeah,
to make yourself so, to be able, for you to be able to say that is really,
yeah,
wow. And then for you to feel that within yourself is, I'm just like celebrating you so hard, and I know it's good, but like for you to feel that, I want to hear like what I have two sides of this question. One, like, what was your favorite part of the writing process and your least favorite part of the writing process? And then this other side of that is what's your like favorite part of the book? Like what's a part of your book that you're like maybe fearful of?
Yeah. So I just got lost in all the questions.
I was like, that was a lot of them.
I'm good.
It was just like the writing process. What was the best part? What was the worst part?
Okay. Yeah, I can answer this one. This one is like the easiest of all answers in the whole world. There is no part of the writing process that I didn't enjoy.
That you didn't enjoy?
I love every moment, every single second, every single moment of writing. I love waking up in the middle of the night and walking downstairs without my contacts in and opening a journal and scribbling what I was thinking in the middle of my sleep. Even though when I went back the next morning, it didn't look like words. I still love that part. You know, I love every part.
You loved it in the midst of it, or now that it's done?
Nope.
In the midst of it.
Because for the first time in my whole entire life, I know that I'm doing exactly what I was created to do. I know what I'm doing exactly what I was created to do. And there is a certain type of power in that. There's a certain type of like crazy kinetic energy in that. Like,
it's the process.
Ooh, it's crazy. And it doesn't mean that it was like lighting me up at every single second, but as a whole, knowing that you're doing exactly what you're created to do and making a choice to do it, and also making a choice that you are not going to do anything else ever again to let anybody take that from you. No one's going to say no. I'm not asking for permission. I'm not doing anything that is going to cause me to be in a space where I can't do what I was created to do. Mm-hmm. That is something entirely different and unexpected, because I've never done it. I've never done what I was created to do. And it's a funny thing. If you think you've got kind of an idea of what you think you might be created to do and you know you're not walking in it, whoa, please stop doing that. Please move forward in your calling. Please move forward in your magic.
So, question, did you always know that you needed to write, or did you discover that along the way? Because, like, what about if you're someone who's like, I don't fucking know what I'm meant to be doing. How did you know that that was, how do you know that that's what you're created to do? And what if you don't know that? Like, if they're like, yeah, I'm not in my calling, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I didn't really know that that was it. Remember, like, when I've always loved to write, and I've always been a writer. So I, you know, I do that. And, you know, it's like, oh, you're a good writer. So I knew that I loved to write, and I always kind of had this thing in the back of my mind, like, someday I'll write a book, you know, or someday I'll, you know, put that together. But it was kind of like, in my mind, a hobby, like, you know, not a calling, not a, mm-hmm. you know, a, kind of a hobby or a cool thing to do, something to augment, you know, what we do, what the real thing that we're doing in life was. Okay, so, like, the Gosh. Real thing is, like, I'm a lawyer. That's my identity. That's what I'm doing. When I tell people that, they get that. They get it.
They celebrate that.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah, they celebrate that, you know? So no, I didn't know. I didn't know because I had not taken the steps forward into freedom. And the thing is, it just feels for so long so incremental. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're sitting at your desk and you're writing your book and you're going, holy shit, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Wow. That's really cool. So cool.
And then magic happens.
Yeah. That's so amazing. So in your book, mm-hmm. Tell us, like, something you're really proud of, and, like, teach us, like, take us there.
I'm proud of doing the work to go back into history. I'm proud of actually asking the questions of myself that I have dared not ask before. Mm. And the question is, what do you desire? Mm. 'Cause in my world, that is not a valid question. Mm. The only valid question is for me to ask someone else what they desire.
Of you.
Yes. So I'm most proud of me asking the question of myself, what do you desire? And the way it comes through in the book is that the answer to that question is 10-year-old me. She knew. And I'm also proud in the book in the way that I tell the 10-year-old me story and the 4-year-old, the story of me 4 years ago, and then the story of me now, and the story of my future. In this book, I am telling the story of my future because it has already happened and I see it.
Mm-hmm. And in that, mm-hmm. bringing it all together, you're telling the story of every woman, really.
Yeah.
And that's really freaking cool. And I feel like you're going to change lives. And I'm so freaking excited.
It's a book that I think you asked me what I'm most scared about. I've told I'm telling some things that are not very flattering about some people. There's a part in the book, some people will say that there are parts of the book that are anti-men, which I am not anti-man. I really love all of the men in my life, you know? I'm just anti-abuse. Mm-hmm. I'm just anti-cage. I'm just anti anything that doesn't lead to freedom, beauty, and magic. Mm-hmm. you know, you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I'm anti those things.
Yeah.
And then, but then you do have to call out some systems. And one of those in particular is how women, the world, like I told you, tells a lot of women, especially in the lawyer world, the corporate world, that the best way to function is to become a man. And when we become men in the corporate world and we lose our femininity, we lose us. We lose ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when you lose yourself and you become this person, you lose a part of your humanity.
You lose
a part of your magic.
You lose your real power.
You lose your real power. And what happens is you will take strength over power.
Mm-hmm.
You'll choose strength over power, strength over power. And that will turn you, that if you make the choice to subvert your humanity, subvert your femininity, subvert your truest power, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You choose strength over power. You're just a real close step into toxic masculinity. So in my book, I do call out women who have exhibited some pretty horrible behaviors of toxic masculinity and my experience with them, which were pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
And I just tell the truth about it.
Yeah. And it's your story.
Yeah.
I love this conversation. I'm on fire. And I think that I want to leave you with the same question that Chelsea left us with, is like, where are you still not free? And she even said, like, some of us are free, or some of you are free, me being one of them, but haven't like constructed your new identity in that freedom yet. And so maybe that's where the work is. I don't know. But I think to just sit with that and be like, where can you be more free? Where can you be freer?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you not free? Is such a great, freaking powerful question.
Yeah.
And I think what it does is it also exposes where we're giving power outside of ourselves.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That is, and at any given moment, you have the choice to stop giving whatever it is outside of yourself that power, to stop telling the story that it has a certain power, and to recognize that freedom is knowing that you have everything within you. And I do have like a thought though, you know, structure creates freedom. That's like a huge part of business, is like, if you want freedom, you need structure. And to me, a last thought that I'll say is, I think that's true. And so you talk about rules versus structure, and that's like probably a great conversation, but
it's the structure you choose.
Yeah. Well, and it's, to me, it's like a discipline.
Definitely.
And discipline is loving yourself, and loving yourself is freedom. And discipline's like the highest form of self-love, but that's what I think structure is. Like, structure is having enough love for yourself to have the discipline to set boundaries, to have the discipline to say no, to have the discipline to create a space where you are able to show up in freedom. And it's like, sometimes we sabotage that. Sometimes we create chaos around structure. We sabotage structure, because with structure comes freedom. And that's something to ask yourself too, is like, where are you sabotaging the structure that you know you need the discipline to have in order to create the freedom that you desire? Because it's nobody else's job but yours. And I say that to you as I say that to myself. Because we want to be free. We want to be wild. We want to have no rules. We want to be like, woo, you know, but it's like, the way to be that is to instill the structure that you know you need in order to, it's the same thing as like teaching a turn up dance fitness class. It's like, you can't be in the moment and be in the music if you didn't do the preparation to structure your class, your leading, and have it be muscle memory. Like, you've done so many reps, you've done so much work that you are free in the moment, but like, you can't be free if you chaotically came unprepared.
Absolutely. And I mean, totally. I just wanted to say that, because I am in no way, shape, or form as gifted as Tansy is in like holding the space in a class, but I have gotten so much better and I'm proud of myself. And that's because I've done the work. Mm-hmm. And because I've done the work, I can show up in class and actually be me. Because I don't have to show up in the class and be Instructor Beth leading everybody through the steps, because I've been putting the reps in so that when I get there, I don't have to think about all that. Mm-hmm. I don't have to think about all the, like, my choreo and this and that, because I've done all that work and I continue to do that work. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing that work at home. And then when I get into class, I can just be, I can just like let it out and love.
Yeah. Well, and that's the work that you're doing on in writing your book.
Yeah.
In chasing the question of what do I desire? Like all of that, like people don't realize that that's the work of becoming a great instructor and leader too, is like, it all comes together. And I think too, like I love in class, I love being different characters. And I think I stop myself from even explaining Turnip as that, because it's like, you know, I am authentically myself, but I like to put on a show. Yeah. I like to perform. I like to become something that I would never be allow myself to be outside of those walls. And it's like, first of all, that's therapy to me. Like that is the beauty of actually tapping into whatever it is that I tap into when I go there. It's like, it's just, it's like being a main character in the movie that I'm creating in that moment and bringing everybody along with me. And it's like, there's, I don't know why I got off on a tangent with that, but
well, the thing about that though is that turns it from fitness to art.
Yes,
it does.
Yeah.
And that I wouldn't have even been able to see it like that, but that's why I love Turnip. That's why I don't love X, Y, and Z, because I'm there for the beauty and the art.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
To me, that just, it's at a whole different space.
Yeah. I love that too. Yay. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for listening. Also, speaking of instructor training, if you're listening to this before April 14th, we have virtual instructor training coming up, but
do it.
Yas.
Do it.
And when is your book launch and stuff?
July the 8th.
July
8th. It will be out.
Keep that date in mind. If you're coming to Turn Up Conference, you'll have some there, right?
I will.
Yay. Yeah. What a great place to like.
Yeah.
All right. Love you guys. Love you. I'm waiting. I'm going to go get my nails done. Okay. Bye.